Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
The light of God's Word, given a perspective. When we think about it, I just want to encourage you today, because there's so much darkness that you could just say, you know, I can scream at the darkness. For example, just yell at your television. What are you doing? And it doesn't work.
No, it is
therapeutic. And I learned that when I was stationed in New York, that you could just sit in a movie theater in this big open area and people would just stand up and say, what is your problem? I'm thinking he's talking to me. He's like, no, he was talking to what was going on the movie screen.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
And I could barely see the movie screen because this is so far back that they actually smoked in there. It was like... That was the credits. I mean, it was really rough. It was really rough by then. Now look at their mayor. You can't even breathe in New York.
They bring your own oxygen.
Bring your own oxygen. But just instead of just screaming and yelling at darkness, guess what? If you are a believer, the light of God is inside of you. The light shines in darkness. So why not just shine your light? Why not just be light? And the darker it gets, the better what you are called to do is going to be seen. One particular man asks a woman of God who lived during the real difficult days of World War II and what was the persecution of the Jews and Christians, and she was just a mighty woman of God, and it was Corrie Ten Boom. And so she was ask the question, you know, when things get so bad, when they get so dark, you know, what did you do during those times? What did you do? And she said, I just continue being who I was. I mean, a lot of times you think you need to crank it up a notch. I got to really, really pray louder or something. And it's like, no, really, I'm telling you. And you can shine your flashlight at the daytime and you still have a flashlight and the light's still there and it's still legitimate. But you got to communicate more with people. This is a flashlight. It's on. It's on. Get your hand in front of it. See the light on your hand? Get close. You feel the heat from the light, right? I mean, that's like, it. There's seasons when you're actually talking to people like that because it's a blessed land. But you know what? The darker it gets, you don't have to do that. They just look for you. They go, there's someone with light. There's someone with light. And I just want, you know, today, just say, hey, don't put any pressure on yourself outside of walking in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Just walk with him, love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Just stay consistent in God. Stay steadfast. Stay steady in God. And realize those that aren't walking with God, they may walk alongside you for a while or appear they're walking that way, but I mean, they're going to be all over the map. And they're going to see, hey, there's a light you can follow right there. There's a light that whatever is inside of him or her, whoever that is, you know, if you want to know where to go, that's who you hang with. And so the tendency, I just want to encourage you, that the tendency of our own nature is to feel like, oh, I've got to do something now, or I've got to increase. Well, first of all, if you're not walking in obedience to God, I mean, you definitely want to begin to walk in obedience to God. But once you're, you know, walking in view of his mercy and obedience to God, then at that point, at that particular point, then just stay consistent. Stay persistent and consistent before God. And people will see the light in your life. And this is what he says about the word. He says, listen, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Think about that. Well, your feet are where they are. That's where you are in your life. So if the word of God is a lamp, a light unto your feet, when you get in the word of God and begin to share the word of God, it helps people know where they are in their life. There's nothing worse than looking at a map and trying to figure out where to go when you don't even know where you are. And so many people have a direction they want to go and they have things they want to do in their life, but they don't know where to start from. Because they never took the time to find out where they are. And they jump right into where they want to go. And, you know, for example, somebody says, you know, I want to start a business. And it's like, well, that's cool. First, I think you're going to need to learn how to read, because where you are right now, you're not going to be able to read the bills they're going to send you to be able to have your business. Or you got to learn the, you know, how to operate in the context of that, you know. And so you say, well, let's figure out what my skills are, what my talents are, or what I know. Where am I? Well, in God, you know, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet. It lets you. It lets you know and speaks to you. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of thought and intent, the attitudes of the heart. Understand this, that if you want to go somewhere, you're going to have to face the fact first of where you are. And a lot of people are like, I don't want to think about where I'm at. I just want to forget that, and I want to do something different. I want to do something more. It's like, but you're going to have to find yourself on the map. How are you going to know where you're going to start from?
Right.
I mean, for example, you could be in Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, in America, and you want to go to San Diego, California, but you're saying, I refuse to know that I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I just want to look at a map of America, and I just want to start towards San Diego.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you look at the map, and you think, well, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go north, south, east, or west? Am I south of San Diego, which is Mexico? No. Am I north of San Diego? Am I east of it? Am I in Hawaii? Am I west of it? I mean, where am I in the context of San Diego? And then you'll find yourself just wandering because you don't know where you are. You first got to know where you are. And that's what's so powerful about the Word of God. When you get in the Word of God, you're going to know where you are. And the, if it's your first encounter with the Word of God, as a believer, by the way, because 82% aren't reading the word, according to George Barna, regular church attenders, then you may be shocked because, let me tell you right now, you're in need of a savior. And you probably made some serious, serious mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
There's potentially, I mean, I would say probably a 99.9% chance that there's some sin in your life. And you're going to have to find out what it is. And you're going to have to repent. But it's cool. Understand this, that God's not asking you to do something that he has not empowered you, won't empower you, or give you mercy and grace to get there. But you first got to know you need mercy and grace. And so when you find out where you are, the example was Atlanta, Georgia. Now you know all, I mean, it may be a big journey, but at least you know where you are so you can begin your journey on how to get there. And you repent. You go to God and say, God, I know where I'm at. I got some issues in my life. You know, I got some struggles. I got some things I need to learn, but I know where I am, and I'm just going to believe you that you're going to lead me towards the effort and the energy that I'm going to exert to learn these things. They're not just going to fall out like pennies in heaven. I'm going to invest my life in these things. And then what happens once you fully know, hey, I'm Atlanta, Georgia. And once you're there, you know this because if you go downtown in the summertime in Atlanta, Georgia, you're going to sweat yourselves to death. I was shedding clothes, pulling shoes and socks, trying to find a bush to go, but it was hot. It was hot. It's like, where is the wind in Atlanta, Georgia? And there was like, where is the wind? We're ready just to buy a cab ride just to ride around the block. No ticket on the block. I ain't figuring out where I'm going yet.
All right. Just give me some AC.
It was amazing. It was hot. It was so hot. It was so beautiful. But I couldn't see because my eyeballs were sweating.
Hotlanta.
It was Hotlanta. And it's because I think it's built in some bowl or something.
I don't know.
It's like, water, give me some water. And so we thought, well, this is cool. Let's get back to the hotel. And anyway, you find out where you are. And, hey, just want to give a shout out there to all our listeners in Atlanta.
We love Atlanta.
Juwan's, we've seen you all over the map,
That's
man.
Right.
You have been all over the map doing great deeds, kind deeds in Atlanta. And that's just so cool to see you and see your friends and just doing good things in Atlanta there.
Amen.
But also, Trent, you know, you're kind of north of Atlanta up there, but give you a big shout out in the hospital up there. And we just, all of our listeners, by the way, we don't get to call you out by name and all that, but we just know in our heart, it just encourages us that we know that we can encourage you.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back out of Atlanta, back to the word and say, listen, you know, your word is a lamp unto my feet. No matter where you are, if you look down, your feet are somewhere. I mean, your feet are somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's where you are. Somebody says, my feet's not there. Well, go back and pull out the evidence where they dusted for fingerprints or footprints or shoe marks or whatever, and they're going to say hey, that he was at, that's where he was. He was on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
People have gone and served life sentences based on the pattern of their unique, privately chosen, worn in a certain way, shoe print. Isn't that something?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's why I use a bush when I like scratch out the sand behind me.
Is that why you carry that twig, twig of leaves? I was wondering why that thing was strapped to your pants, you know, behind you.
That wasn't just in the movies, man. That's a real deal, man. And I think some Windex. Anyway, the you don't even need fingerprints, footprints anymore. You know what I'm saying?
You got the dot.
You got a satellite just kind of beaming in on you. You know. Anyway, so they're just trying to catch up with God, and they'll never do it. Mm-hmm. God's already known where you are. He just wants you to find out where you are, and He's given us the Word to find out where we are. And so the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It lets us know where we are. Brace yourself when you get in the Word, because you'll find out. Man, I'm living my marriage wrong, or I thought marriage was the answer, but Paul says, I'd rather you not, but if you do, you're not sinning. It's just oatmeal. If I want oatmeal, I don't want oatmeal. They made marriage like something like it's some sacrament before God versus, and people aren't even serving God because they're trying to find marriage with man before they find marriage with being the bride of Christ. And it's like, what have we done? And there's so many things you learn when you get in the Word of God. It's like it puts things into perspective. Secondly, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, lets us know where we are, but it's also a light into our path, which means, listen, you want a vision for your life. You want to do something in your life. You want something to actually succeed in your life. You want to know what the will of God is in your life. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. Listen, that when you hear and tap into the Word of God and the voice of God, that nothing man can do can stop. No will of man can stop the will of God. I mean, He'll open doors that no man could close, and He'll close doors that no man can open. He'll reveal to you trade secrets of the demonic realm in your environment. I mean, He'll speak to you and let you know, hey, this one, you know, this is what's happening here. I mean, in the business realm, it's important to know this is when you invest, this is when you don't invest. When you're walking your life out, it's important to know what direction to go, what direction not to go, when to do it, timing, and all that. And in walking our lives out, it's so important. I mean, think if 50% of marriages are ending in divorce, somebody missed something in the church now. That's somebody missed something somewhere, whether it was the choice to be married, or was the choice of who they married, or the choice of how they chose to be married, or whether they chose to make Jesus the Lord of their marriage. And now the byproduct of that is people not being married. And it's like, listen, where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going? And the thing is, the Word of God lets us know where to go. And what's so cool about it is He will give us, in His Word, potential scenarios. Let me give you an example. Israel went this way, and they got smacked. They went this way on this path, and they got blessed. And then they chose a leader like this, and they went into bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on this path, and they were blessed, and they were prosperous, and God was pleased, and things were good, and they become fertile personally, and then the soil became fertile. And then they went this way, and they ticked off God. They shed innocent blood. Mm-hmm. They took the path that shed innocent blood, so much so that God was going, listen, it's just, you know, I'm going to deal with this. Or you say, well, I'm not going to do that. And so the Word of God lets you know it's a light into your path. It just gives you a direction. So you begin to, and it's so cool about it is that we have a practicum of other people's lives that we can look at and imitate those or not imitate those who have gone before us. We can see what happens when you go this way or go that way. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How does a lawsuit against a city seal come before the court? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I know the ACLU, they're out to, you know, rename every half the cities in the country, but How do these cases ever get into federal court?
Here's what happens. A citizen in the community generally objects, and they'll object to the symbol there that crosses for La Cruces, New Mexico. And then you've got, there's been challenges against Corpus Christi, and that's the body of Christ. So that, they bring them in federal court, they get citizens in the area to say, quote, they're offended. And unfortunately, oftentimes the court will say, well, offense, looking at something is enough to bring a literal constitutional challenge. And that's how this happens.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Well, you think about, abiding. I mean, it's just, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. What do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself because he just says, you seek me, I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. Everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. I want to encourage you, if you felt like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you want to be close to him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. It's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important. But then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways, we'll end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us in the VFN family, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. The Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It lets us know where we are. And a light into our path. If you're in Atlanta and you want to get to San Diego, you got to find out and acknowledge, I'm in Atlanta. If you're in a dark place and you want to have a better future, you're going to have to first acknowledge, I'm in a dark place, but I want my life to be better. And you do that by making the Word the Lord of your life. You see, in the beginning of all times was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. You see, Jesus is the proceeding Word of God. To not get in the Word and call yourself a believer, this is not getting into Jesus. The reason why so many dark things are coming against the Word, because the last thing Satan wants you to know is where you are,
mm-hmm.
and where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, get in the shower, get on the train,
mm.
get in the ghetto. No, this is fine. We're just going to concentrate you people because we want to protect you.
Mm.
That's all he wants. He's just going to, but if you get in the Word, you're going to know where you are and where you're going. Why? Because Jesus, the reason why the Word is living and active, because the Word is Jesus. It's the only book in this original script that comes with the author, the Word of God. The reality now, I mean, you have concept. You have concept. And concept is what you perceive it's going to be like. It's kind of like a visionary and a great, yeah, it's a great concept. And then you have reality. And reality is how you're living your life. I mean, it's your, you know, your okay, that was cool concept. But my doctor just quit. And we talked about that in the first hour. And the reality is 83% of doctors now are talking about quitting because of the undue burden. And it just sort of gives you a great way to begin to think. And, you know, one of my desires is that VFN Radio helps you begin to just think. You know, think more than just one way. I mean, peripherally begin to think about something and don't just think about it from your own experiences. Visit the experiences of others. And think about things in the context of the wisdom of God's word, and then make a decision, you know, where you're going to stand with an issue, where you're going to stand with some values in the context of it, because the medical issue is on God's heart, because he says the one who nurses someone, the one who takes care of someone to the least of these of his is doing it unto him. I mean, he wants us to be able to take care of the, remember the Good Samaritan, he wants to take care of people. So, you know, I think, I really believe that the church has got to quit wrapping themselves around the American flag and start wrapping themselves around the base of the cross of Christ. And we'll have a totally different perspective. And then we can honor the country while we honor God over all the concepts and perceptions of the political atmosphere, because we're not called to be political. The word political means compromise.
Yeah.
You know, there's exacts with God.
We're seeing some of that stuff happen too, you know, with the lady I was mentioning earlier, that some of the church was able to gather around her, even though she was hurting, not able to take care of certain things. They got around her, loved on her, took care of some of her bills outstanding, you know, her power bill. And it was just so beautiful. All that was taken care of outside of the context of making demands on others, but the church just, you know, supporting her and loving her.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's happening, and I think you're right. We're going to see it more and more.
And, you know, if you go back, I was watching some documentaries of the British hospital. I forget the name of it over there, but when it began, it was known as the Queen's Hospital, and I can't think of the name of it, but they have all the journals. They would write journals about everything that happened that day on the ward and the nurses, and it was very, you know, military-ish in the context of it was proper. I'm not military, proper. You know, you would die in a proper atmosphere. But this is like 1900 whatever. I mean, this is not like forever ago. And they didn't understand about washing your hands. When somebody was, you have 80 people in a ward, 80 people in a room, for those who know what a ward is, they're sitting in these open racks, basically, and they're all interchanging, they're coughing, and the nurses are going from one patient to the next patient to the next patient and not even washing their hands. And if they do something with their hands, they wipe it with a dry cloth. They wipe their hands with a dry cloth.
Mm.
It's like, but think about it, Pat, like, I couldn't live in that time.
No.
But today, I mean, you go in a hospital, you put a mask on, they got a little, you know, dispensers of hand cleaning, the biggest cause of sickness and disease is transferred by people's hands, by not washing their hands, coughing and sneezing. But they didn't have that wisdom at that point. It wasn't long ago. It wasn't long ago. And you can actually see this. And maybe it will come to me on the context of, I believe it was one of the documentaries on Amazon, something like that, that you can go back and see things on it. But it was just so interesting. Of course, you know, I personally want to know facts and, you know, how it happened and how people acted. And a lot of people were like, I just don't want to know facts. I just want to know fiction and history. Yeah. You know, we were living in the reality. That's just the concept. But in the reality of this is that they didn't have x-rays. They, you know, they talk about this documentary that it was in Great Britain where the x-ray equipment was invented. I think it was like 1911, 1917, somewhere. I don't know. I don't have the dates down. And for when he inventing this, in other words, they would look at you and they had no idea if there was something broken, no broken bones. They couldn't tell because they just had to look from the outside of your body. So what they would do is just basically cut you every time something would happen to find out what was going on. Well, he practiced how much radiation it would take, you know, and he would have an x-ray of his hand and he'd x-ray his hand again. And if that's too much radiation, that's too much radiation. And eventually what happened was is too much radiation means you know, you die.
Yeah.
And his fingers were falling off his, and eventually he had no more fingers on his hands. And they let him go, by the way, because he was no longer any service. But he finally perfected the amount of x-ray. And they were so impressed that you can look inside the chest of this man or woman and find out that there's something in the lungs, a pneumonia or something of that nature. I mean, it was just, you know, this is wonderful in, inventions that happened and discoveries in a very short period of time because, you know, 6,000, you know, plus years. And here we are. Just in the last 100 years, most things were invented. But prior to that, you just die. You get a cut. You get an infection. They didn't know about antibiotics. They didn't know about this simple thing. So somebody got a cut. And listen, if you're an agricultural society, you know, and you're going to get a cut.
No doubt.
There's a high probability you could die from that. You get a fever, you're going to die, you know. You're just pretty much like, you're going to die from something.
That's right.
And I think the average life expectancy probably was around 40 years or so during that time. But then you had, at that point in time, you had the peasants, which is the majority of the people, live this life of just drudgery. I mean, that when you see them come into this hospital, this is you had the royalty and you had the upper crust. And then you had everybody else, like us. You had everybody else that was higher. And they had lived with rats biting all over them. They were smushed up from having to till the soil and cook the food over open fires and blah. They just looked tattered and torn, and it was just horrific. And this wasn't long ago. This wasn't long ago. And that's why when you see that our founding fathers, how proper they were, well, they came from the upper crust, you know, of that, you know, the beginning of that context of that where you talked proper and you do this kind of thing. But in the context of it, that they would come into the hospital and it was so bad. It was so bad at that time and what people would go through and what the requirements of life was that suicide was very, very high. Men, while they were shaving, would cut their throats. This is the actual journals of the hospital at the time.
Wow.
And everybody knew that's what they're doing. They just, the pressures are so hard that when they're shaving, you got to, by the way, it was this like straight razor. It's like a knife for those that don't know it. And the women would drink like Lysol. They would drink this Lysol and it would just kill them. And they just didn't want to live. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
That's how bad it was. Is they were having all these medical discoveries and they're learning all these different things. And so here we are, you know, a few moments later, it wasn't long ago. And now we're actually demanding that every form of medical treatment is owed to us by a government. I mean, that's a big step. And not only is it a big step, it's not even an affordable step.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had a, I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that, right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be accepted by the Jews and too Jewish to be accepted by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But...
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. Because now they're reporting that the medical in Great Britain, that there's people that are dying unnecessary deaths in the hospital. I mean, have you ever been to the driver's license office before?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the tag office before? Have you ever been to the tax office? I mean, I'm saying it's like that's government controlled. Have you been to TSA when you're going through to fly on something? That's government. Oh, yes. That's government controlled things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I'm having a heart attack. Sir, take a number and step back.
Mm-hmm.
You're number like 3,662. And then all of a sudden you sit down and they go, Number two, please step forward. Number two, I'm 3,000, you know, and it's like, you know, the church, we have to begin to say, God, forgive us for not being what we needed to be in society. And now we're turning to government for everything, for everything, God, you know, begin to trust us. Or what you think about it, if 97% of the church is not even honoring God with their finances, how in the world are we going to be able to say, okay, God, we can begin to establish like the Methodist Hospital in Houston. I mean, you go there and get this excellent treatment in regard to that. You have the Sacred Heart Hospitals that was started by nuns years ago, and now the nuns are out. All you have is statues of their habits and their hats, and the board have taken over of the hospital there.
Mm.
You have Baptist Hospital and different hospitals that have been started. A Presbyterian Hospital in New York, and but what happens eventually is just they run out God out of the whole thing, and they take it over and just keep the name on the outside. But you look at the buildings, what we call church, and it's like how many people have just, you know, taken over the whole
and
thing.
And it's similar.
Like, and it's like we got to turn this whole thing around again, because God can give us concepts and finances and resources to begin to provide. If we can go across the seas,
hello,
and meet the medical needs of a foreign tribe that has never had anything done to them, or some children in the Philippines or somewhere in Nepal, and help them and do their dental and do surgery for those that are born with cleft palates and all these different things for free, just for the cost of supplies.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to stand up and say, you know, what are we doing in regards to our own country?
Right.
You can go all the way across the seas and fix this, and it was important to do, this child's cleft palate, but yet you make the child, your neighbor, who has a cleft palate with no insurance, that somehow they got to fight their way through some sort of red tape and grovel and whatever else to try to get their child. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we can do that here.
That's right.
Which means we also then got to begin to change and believe God for people who get in office that have the same values, so they don't tie our hands and just, when you help somebody, then they end up suing you.
Right.
You know, it's a shame. I mean, you're not going to have somebody in Nepal file a lawsuit against you because of, you put 4 stitches in instead of 5 stitches in.
Mm.
They're going to go, you know what they're going to say?
Thank you. That's right.
And not only that, this is what will happen too. That they'll more than likely give their hearts to God. The rest of their life, they'll serve God. But in America, you do something kind for an American, quite often, they're going to say that's not enough. You know, where's the pepperonis on my pizza? They're going to say, you know, did you see the attitude? Did you see the attitude they had when they actually did the surgery on me? Kept me alive, you know? It's just like, we're so ungrateful. And it's like, there was a time when, you know, I was just saying, Lord, I just want to go to a place where people will be grateful.
Mm.
The people that are loved appreciate the fact that they're loved, instead of in America, quite often, which you struggle with, you can't love an American enough. You can't do enough for them.
Mm-mm.
You can't do enough for so many people. Or if you do love them, then they twist it around and call it something it ain't. And he's like, he's looking at me, he's like, sweetheart.
Please. Yeah. Please.
You know, it's so unloved that nobody knows how to respond to it.
You don't even
recognize it when it shows up and thinks that it's something that it's not. And in the context of that, it's like, there's some serious, it's not a political issue. It's not a political problem, which is a compromising, that means compromising problem. That's what politics means. It is a value issue with the church, with us, with Christians who love God. And then because we turn to government, now we have government telling us how we're going to be able to take care of medical needs of people. And we turn to lawyers when Jesus, we're told very specifically, you know, you don't sue each other, you know, in regards to that. But I mean, sometimes things happen that, you know, you work things out before you get there. But the context is that you can't even, you're already picking your lawyer out before you even finish the treatment. You know what I'm saying? Nothing, you know, we need lawyers, just like we need carpenters to build houses. But in regards to the abuse of the whole thing, and it's like, I think it's not all of that. I think it's just us. And
what type of care are you going to get from a physician who's looking at you thinking, oh my goodness, you're scrutinizing every single thing I'm doing. You know what I mean? Is this going to be a lawsuit later?
That's right.
You know what I mean? You're putting
Which
in a
means
really...
his fees are going to be cranked up because he's going to back himself up or she's going to back herself up with insurance to cover it.
Yep.
They're going to give you every test because they're seeing down the road that you are going... They're picturing a witness testifying the fact you didn't give them A test or B test or C test.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to give all those tests. And then once they do, they cover themselves in the context of that. And you probably just assume, I don't know what the numbers are, but probably maybe 50% of that was just cover their assets.
Mm.
You know, cover to be able to stay in business. And now, what's going to happen in the context of, and it's like, it was government the problem? Was the doctor the problem? Was the patient the problem?
Mm.
And it's all of us. It's like, Lord, forgive us for what things have come to in our nation. And you think, how is this going to be fixed? Let me tell you how it's going to be fixed. It's going to be fixed with a third grade awakening. It's going to be fixed by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be fixed by us living the life that we profess we have in our hearts, living it on the outside, being children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to work. There's just too many things that are astray. There's too many trails that have gone the wrong way. And you're not going to fix it by managing this thing differently. An administrator is not the key.
Mm-mm.
The key is us turning to God and crying out to God, and God began to change hearts, change the hearts of the leaders, change the hearts of the doctors, change our hearts of the patients, change our hearts of the business owners, change our hearts, change the hearts of the stockholders, change the hearts of America. And he can do that. That's when you hear third grade awakening. That's why you want it. That's why you want to cry out to God, because God can change things in a moment, in just a twinkling of an eye. In one encounter with God, everything you thought that would never change could be changed instantly. And I just encourage you to begin to say, you know, I'm going to pray for a third grade awakening. God, and God revealed to me what that is, and begin to study the first grade awakening and the second grade awakening and how they came in the context of the same kind of environment. But because of that, I mean, at the first great awakening, the byproduct of the first great awakening in America was the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That was the byproduct. After the first great awakening, it led to the point where that God touched the hearts of some and said, listen, we need a nation that we're free to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is personal. That's what came in the first great awakening. We got to get right personally before God. Second great awakening in America... What was the byproduct? What came after that? The freedom from slavery. It was broken over America. And it came on the heels of or after the Second Great Awakening. Imagine what's going to be broken if we just cry out to God and begin to go after him. And what happens, all these folks that are being held captive by the adversary to do these dark things to the people of America, they get saved. They get set free. Or God just rids us of them. And all of a sudden, we have a third grade awakening, and it's like they thought it was over before the first grade awakening. And they thought it was over before the second grade awakening. But guess what people were saying? They think it's over, right? It ain't over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It is not over till God says it's over. So I want to encourage you, you know, you're going to bog yourself down trying to figure this thing out. You can't figure. Darkness is darkness. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. You can talk light all day long to someone who chooses to be dark, and it's not going to... But you can be saved. They can give their hearts to God. God could touch the environment, the DNA of the environment, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's on fire for God. All of a sudden, everything that they couldn't see because they were in darkness, they can see because now they're in light and they know where they are and they know where they're going. And a third great awakening. The only hope for America is a third great awakening in God. That's it. That's it. Not just some bitty revival, not this, not that, awakening. this whole sleeping church awakens and runs after her Lord, runs after her, our Savior. But since this happened twice before, come on, it's not that hard to believe for. And they did it on horseback. They did it on horseback. They did it on horseback without PA systems in the woods.
Without AC.
Without AC. Then that means we can do that today under God's leadership rapidly. A third great awakening. Believe God with me.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour, chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what was I doing? The last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so anyway, I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running, and I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running, and it's just me and him in the woods, and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? And we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff. And I'm chasing this. You know, I was in better shape then. I was chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And all of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. Now I was running through these, it wasn't dark to me. You know, it was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh yeah, woo, yeah, I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they said, we're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light. And I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no, right? I don't have no light. And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am, right here, help me, I'm right here, please don't let him bite me. Anyway, and so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him, I said, listen. I said, I was chasing you, and I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sure goes a lot further than salt. He was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm beating on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But you know, we have a word that we want to share with you from Brother Steve Hill. Steve Hill has a powerful word called his wrath and his love. And you know, we've been sharing and talking a lot here on VFN Radio about the right to life, to honor life and to repent for the shedding of innocent blood. Listen, we are seeing a wave across the country in legislation. We're seeing a wave of people awakening to saying, that's not right. That's not right. Staffers are saying, I can no longer work here. This is murder. Mm.
I want you to listen to Steve Hill as he shares this word. It's in a poetic fashion. It's kind of a poem, but it's deep, it's truthful, and I believe it will minister to your heart.
Today I see a courtroom battle unlike any known to man. The attorneys facing the presiding judge have wasted valuable time preparing their case. The conclusion has been determined, the verdict about to come down. The crime is beyond belief, the penalty won't bring relief. The judgment is flawless. The three witnesses, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, have finalized their decision. Only the mercy of God will hold back the fire of His wrath. Only the blood of Jesus will cover this sin's aftermath. His wrath and His love. The Holocaust brought the world such great shame, but now here we are doing the same. I've been to the ovens, I've seen with my eyes the horrors of man. How can we deny? It happened so very long, long ago that many refuse to learn of things they don't know. We hide in our homes and crave lives of ease, but live in a time we can't do what we please. Why won't we get out and lift up our voice to help these poor victims who haven't a choice? I'm sorry, my friend, you can't shut your ears to the cries of the unborn who've died through the years. Over 50 million children are casualties of war. They had no weapons to even the score. The gavel fell, the decision made, the law we all call Roe versus Wade. You ask me what really happened that day when lawyers and judges had their own way? It was written in stone so long, long ago. They broke His command. Now wrath He would show. You don't believe that God sees the sin of slaughtering life at the point it begins? We kill lawyers, doctors, builders, and more. God had a plan for each child we ignored. No judgment on us, we arrogantly say. Just look at the state of our nation today. But rather than fall on our knees in remorse, we search even deeper, a more radical course. Why am I writing in such a militant way with all our national troubles? Be nice, you might say. You don't understand why I speak in this tone, to get your attention, to enter your home. My wife is a product of a man who went wild. It was a hideous rape that created a child. But her mom chose the hard way at that early age. She was poor and so helpless, but resisted the rage. Now, decades later, we both fight the right for all little babies to be free from this plight. The government tries to force this great land by passing strict laws binding our hands. But businesses are livid, refusing to pay for the pill that will end countless lives every day. It's been 40 years of this killing spree, and now this new pill makes it simple and free. The government mandates murder again. Politicians, take heed. This war you won't win. Washington fails to understand law. It's not what they say behind the four walls. God's in command. His decision will stand, regardless of what decrees issue from man. In God we trust, on our coins and our walls. We spit in His face, we lie with such gall. So beware to all who wield this great power. Your fate is determined during this final hour. This trial will be won in the courtroom above by the presence of Jesus, His wrath, and His love.
Wow, that's powerful. That's Steve Hill. Steve Hill shares a word, and it's a now word. I mean, you think of this poem. I mean, look what's happening. Look what's happening on the face of this earth, and what is trying to be passed with there's laws and legislation making it mandatory. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing people that are waking up that are saying, "Listen, we're not going to stand for this. Listen, we are going to stand with God, and we're going to protect life."
and that his wife apparently was a product of a rape.
Right.
And her mom took the tough choice and decided to raise a daughter. Mm-hmm. And today, I mean, their ministry has touched the world.
Yeah.
The powerful. World. I mean, people say world. I mean, they've touched the world. And it's powerful. Listen, you don't know what lies in store for that baby. You don't know what lies in store. And just yesterday, we talked about how it's mandatory now in Illinois for a minor who is going to have an abortion that her parents now be notified at a minimum of 48 hours before that takes place. Let me tell you something. It's important. We're seeing huge, huge things happen, and we're going to see God be the defender. He's going to be the defender.
That's right.
And when God shows up, you better watch out.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.